Hello, everybody. This is Scott Yates, Director of Communications and Producer Relations for the Washington Grain Commission. Here with episode 193 of Wheat All About It, or what I've entitled Special Delivery, continuing the Nishan Crop Quality Survey during COVID. Longtime Wheat All About It listeners know that I've been producing podcasts utilizing information gathered during a two-day swing through eastern Washington by a team of young executives from Nishan, Japan's largest flour miller. The company also has mills in Canada and the U.S. You can find these previous episodes on the Washington Grain Commission's new website at wagrains.org. Simply type the word Nishan in the finder, that's N-I-S-S-H-I-N, and up will pop episodes 37 and 38 from 2017, and 142 and 143 from 2019. The 2018 podcast, which didn't use Nishan's name in the title, is episode 90. This year's Quap Quality Survey was going to be the 13th I've conducted with Nishan staff, some of whom travel from Japan and Canada. It is always a summer highlight for me, and so I was disappointed when an in-person component had to be canceled in light of the pandemic that is causing various levels of upheaval around the world. Out-of-the-box thinking has been a requirement at the WGC since quarantining and travel restrictions began. My contribution to the effort included an offer to pick up grain samples Nishan staff would ordinarily assemble during their travels. In addition, I volunteered to conduct virtual interviews as Nishan teams have done in person in the past, and I ensured the questionnaires the company sends were filled out and returned. Meanwhile, my boss, Glenn Squires, went the next step, contacting U.S. Wheat Associates Japan Country Director, Rick Nakano, to determine how best to ensure Nishan's needs were fulfilled. Nakano, working with USW's Steve Wershing, who heads up the association's Portland office, quickly put together an August 27th virtual meeting which will include a team of higher-level Nishan executives, some of whom have been on previous survey teams, to discuss the crop that is coming at them. Of course, analysis of the collected grain samples are key to that, as is this podcast, which is being sent to the executives before their virtual meeting. Although most of the elevator personnel I spoke with described this year's wheat crop as having excellent yields and quality, both for winter and spring wheat, that was not entirely the case, at least in terms of yields. In this episode, I talk with Paul Katovich, CEO of Highline Grain, and Andy Wellsent, controller at Ritzville Warehouse. In a normal year, the Nishan team would visit Highline Grain's Davenport and Odessa offices, receiving grain samples from both while being provided a narrative of seasonal crop progress in the area. Katovich provides a bigger picture of the company's entire draw area.
This year is really a pretty standard year for us. I would say that we're going to have a very average crop. The region to the west, which is higher elevation and colder winters on average, has had a remarkable stretch of no moisture. So we haven't had an inch of moisture yet in 2020. Most of our moisture in the west comes from snow, and then we'll get some occasional spring rains. But really, we're hoping to get loaded up and have a good full moisture profile coming out of winter. When that doesn't happen, then we struggle. And sometimes we get the spring rains to save us, and sometimes we don't. This year in particular, the eastern part of the Washington production zone and North Idaho was really blessed with all of the rain pattern. And so as you move from west to east, the crop gets better. That was more or less the way we saw the winter as well, as it tended to see more of the moisture cycle end up on the east side of the footprint. Having said that, though, we didn't have an overabundance of moisture in the winter. And in fact, in mid-April, we were really wondering whether anything was going to get wet at all. And I would say that that was true all the way down to Walla Walla. in late April, I remember having conversations with Chris Piha about what we thought the crop was going to be. And he was really thinking this was going to be a wreck if we didn't get some rain soon. And we laugh about it now, or at least he can laugh about it, because he started getting rains and then they didn't stop.
So you did not get any of those May rains that we got down here in this area?
No, you have to get over to about Wilbur. So I'll use, and if you look at the map, you can tell there's about halfway across our footprint. Highway 21 is a good line of demarcation. It actually goes through Odessa. It goes through Wilbur. That is more or less the line where things start to get better. And those rains did start to hit Lincoln County and a sliver of Grant County starting in May. I won't go so far as to put a brain in a plant. The plant will go through a period before it starts to head out that it is making up its mind on how many kernels, how many meshes it's going to try to fill. That's, I think, what happened in that center part of our zone. So the far west third, really a tough crop for us. We're cutting 18, 20 bushels in places that are the worst, and 40s and low 50s where it's the best, averaging in the 30s, maybe 40s as you get close to Cooley City. You get into the middle where you're talking about northern Grant County and Lincoln County, and things are a solid average. We're disappointed with that because we weren't disappointed with the ultimate result because they remember how dry it was in April and saying, well, if we'd have taken average back then, we'll take it. Now, as they hear reports of triple digit spring wheat yields, yeah, you're a little disappointed that you're cutting average. And having said that, though, the plant was making up its mind on how big it was going to be. We have phenomenal quality. This is the best quality I've seen in years on this crop. Our buyers will be very happy with how plump this crop is, how heavy the test weight is, high falling numbers all across, except for the very western edge, which we can manage. And they haven't seen a crop this quality from this area in a long time. And that's saying something, because this is usually pretty high quality anyway up along Highway 2.
In the draw area around Odessa, what were the conditions?
I think that's a microcosm of what we're talking about here, where Highway 21 runs right through Odessa. And by and large, the further west you go from Odessa, the worse the crop gets. But because it's really not that far away, it's pretty close to average west of Highway 21. And then as you go east of Highway 21, it starts to get better than average. And it gets better than average quite quickly, to the point where, by the time you get to Harrington, which is only a half hour drive from Odessa, things are quite a bit better than average. Also in Ritzville, I think is as you go from Odessa to Ritzville, things get steadily better. And then as you go beyond Ritzville, both east and southeast and south, things get ridiculously better. That ground, 20 or 30 minutes south of Ritzville, ended up in May and June with 7 inches of rain. So that's probably never happened since we've been farming this country. Phenomenal crops down there from what I'm told. So they're really excited. That Odessa, the concentration around Odessa, really a nice bell curve of proteins. So you have some low, some medium, some high, good test weight, great falling number, very clean crop. They did have some cold weather, which maybe nipped their yields a little bit, but doesn't affect the crop quality at all. So I think they'll be happy with the samples they get that we're putting together there in Odessa.
Given the conditions that you're talking about here, Paul, the protein must be all over the place. Is that the case?
It's a nice, clean bell curve. We're going to have a pretty standard protein range for us, maybe a half a point lower than normal, but nothing that is going to cause a problem for us to manage. And then there's a great spring wheat crop that'll give us a little higher protein just naturally. So we'll have a nice bell curve protein this year.
Wonderful, wonderful. And what have the harvest conditions been like this year? I recall last year that there was some rain during harvest.
Last year, we had a generationally bad rain event during harvest. The only comparable years were in the 70s. And those that remembered cutting then and remember cutting now, this past year was worse than it was in the 70s. This is starkly different. It's very hot. It's very dry. These are great harvest conditions, at least for crop quality. It's pretty dangerous, frankly, because we're getting a lot of fires. At the pace that we're on, we'll be 80 or 90% done probably by the end of the week. Probably 80% done by the end of the week.
What about conditions for fall planting? Are you worried about fall planting conditions?
Same problem exists with lack of moisture in the West. We're delaying seeding cutting our seed rates back, expecting to have to go back in once it rains. Moisture is there, but it's deep, and so that's a challenge. As you move east, it gets better and better. So same problem for seed season that it has been for the crop development.
What about falling numbers? What have been the reports of falling numbers this year?
We test that, as you know, vigorously every year so that we can manage it. The only place that I know that has any falling number issue at all is in our footprint on the very western edge. It's not anything that isn't manageable internally. We don't have any discounts planned, and we won't be discounting this year. We do have some weak spots. We can manage through that. There's always some white wheat that goes into the feed channel, and we'll be doing that. But by and large, this is the best quality crop I've seen in terms of falling number as well in many years.
So everything you've said about the crop includes the club wheat crop, the winter club wheat.
Yeah. The majority of our club wheat's produced in the middle, so we have a pretty average crop. However, this year we're going to have more spring acres of club wheat, and so we'll have a boost in that production on our eastern zone over by Davenport and Reardon. We expect those yields to be above average, and it's still going to be a tight year for club wheat. Club wheat usually has a two-year tightness to it when we do get to the point where we don't quite have enough supply to be fast and loose with it. That's what I see coming this year again, absent some, unforeseen quality problem that I have no expectation of for the spring wheat. I think we'll have enough club wheat to make a good run at it. We'll probably get an increase in club acres. I think there's a new variety called Castella that's more popular and should gain acres. So we consciously think about our, especially our Western white users that we want to do a good job of getting a solid base of club wheat supply for them to meet their needs. So that's my expectation.
Most areas of the state appear to fare better this year than Highline in yield. Spring rains did not miss farmers around Ritzville, and the crop there is said to be exceptional, as are regions to the south of Spokane, which you'll hear more about in episode 194. Andy Welsenth, controller at Ritzville Warehouse, said the crop got a good start at planting, and although lack of rain during the early spring had farmers anxious, precipitation showed up on time.
Had really good moisture to start with. There were some rains initially around Labor Day weekend, I believe. So there was some pockets of reseeding that did have to occur, but overall, really good stand, really good moisture to start with. Especially which is necessary for all the deep furrow country over here.
How did the crop progress into the winter?
Very good. Everything came up really well, and progressing through the winter, there wasn't some big cold snap last fall or anything. It was just as normal, good conditions, what you'd expect for this area and what they needed.
What about the weed pressure? I heard there was a lot of cheatgrass.
There was, could have been maybe more. I think maybe what drove that was, pockets of that had, these spring rains, that maybe drove some more of that this year.
What kind of winter are we looking at?
Really good from that aspect. There wasn't there wasn't any winter kill. You know, a couple years ago we had some cold snaps we were worried about, you know, those big frosts and massive windstorms we had. But this year was fantastic. Really good conditions that carried us all the way through the winter. You know, we didn't have much spring reseeding this year.
But we didn't have any rain in the spring to speak of, did we?
Correct. But the rains came late, though.
Tell me what the crop was looking like, for instance, in late April.
You know, it seemed like it wasn't going to be a great harvest this year. You know, initially, you know, we were thinking maybe we'd be down from, you know, the last couple years on the yields and the intake, you know, but then the rains in late April, May, June, I mean, really caught up the crop and really improved it going into harvest. I mean, it was a massive improvement from what we were thinking we were going to get in the March, April timeframe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What are the harvest conditions looking like? Are you finished with harvest now? Or
We span west of Ritzville, you know, 20 or 30 miles, and then it carries over to east to, you know, Lamont, Dusty, Edwall, Sprague area. So, you know, those places are still going strong over east on the east side of the company. And, you know, most people around Ritzville and west, so we're finished up by this time. But it's been fantastic harvest conditions. There's been a couple pop-up showers here and there, but it's been hot and dry for the most part, which has breeded really good harvest conditions. So people have finished quickly and gotten things put away, which has been much better compared to the 2019 harvest.
What about your samples so far? What are you looking at in terms of protein, dockage, falling numbers, plump kernels?
Grades and samples have been really good this year. Proteins, I think we've been averaging between 9.5 and 10 company-wide. Dockage has been good. Falling numbers have been terrific this year. I would say for the most part we've been 350 and above. And then also plump kernels test weight. I think it's been 62 pound test weight across the board. There's been very little quality issues. It's been just a great year.
Wow, it's amazing how rain can turn things around, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it's just amazing what we were thinking. You know, maybe we'd be 10-20% down, and you know, in March, April timeframe, but you know, we're above, I think, you know, where we've been the last couple of years. So it's just really impressive.
What about club planting? Did you have much club? Was club down? Do you expect it to rise again?
You know, that information is still kind of coming in as we speak, but it seemed like fall plantings were maybe down from where they were, but then there has been a lot of spring JD club wheat plantings as well. It's going to be interesting to see where that final number, you know, comes in. It'll be, you know, our eyes will be peeled in on the Washington Commission report that comes out this September.
What about the spring crops? I mean, the state indicated that we're going to have a record spring crop yield.
I mean, I would echo that as well. You know, there wasn't a lot of spring crops around Ritzville, but certainly east of Ritzville, Sprague, Lamont, Dusty, Edwall areas are, you know, primarily spring wheat. So, you know, the yields are looking really good, you know, as, you know, the intakes are massive at these locations. So it's just really impressive what these April, May, June rains did for production.
Did all of your draw area get those spring rains?
I would say 90%. You know, maybe west of between Ritzville and Moses Lake, there was some areas that, you know, didn't have those significant rainfall areas. And there was, you know, just a few miles apart where one area would get, you know, that deep rain and big downpour, and then just a few miles west or east didn't have it. So it was kind of, you know, I would say coverage, though, was 80, 90% for getting those big rains.
Wonderful, wonderful. How are conditions as we look at fall planting? It's been really dry here since we had those spring rains.
You know, from what I've been hearing, though, I think there's still enough that they should be able to get in there and get a good stand. It's been hot, so I think, you know, people have waited a little bit here to begin planting, maybe let things cool off a little bit. You know, but our area, usually by September 1st, people are getting going and getting in the field and planting. So the conditions look fine. So we're expecting a good stand and expecting everything to look good going into next year, too.
What about varieties, Andy? Are you seeing varieties shift very quickly, or are the growers staying with the tried and true?
I think varieties have, you know, had a big factor on these improved yields and quality. And, you know, our farmers have shifted to, you know, some of these new varieties, you know, being put out by, you know, universities and private companies. So our farmers have made a big shift already. So,
Andy, anything else that you can add here?
No, it's just been, you know, to top it off, it's just been a, you know, terrific year, you know, across the board, you know, overall company-wide, it's just been really good. And, you know, we're excited about the future, and 2021 is looking good so far. So hopefully we'll get the crops put away and get everything seeded and get back to less busy times.
Are there less busy times in agriculture? I suppose so. But as I was out in the countryside collecting samples, I saw tractors preparing fields for planting as combines and bankout wagons harvested this year's crop and trucks carried it to elevator facilities. I hope episode 193 gave you a sense of the wheat crop in the summer fallow areas of the state. In episode 194 of Special Delivery, continuing the Nishan Crop Quality Survey during COVID, 2, I interview elevator personnel south of Spokane, where the good news about a terrific crop just gets better. Please join me here next time for another episode of Wheat All About It.
We're all children of a special treat, a miracle of nature that we just call wheat. A crop that's in the Bible, a crop that's in our bread, a crop that's filled our bellies and held us in its head. Through a history of starvation and times of want and woe, wheat has been our savior, our grub, our gruel, our dough. There's always lots of problems when we have enough to eat, but there's only one dilemma when it's not enough wheat. We feed you.